Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and we are going into week 12 of college football. Week 12. Unbelievable. He is Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles, their video scouting guru. We are very lucky to have him. Check him out on Twitter at FDuffy3, as well as myself at Ross Tucker NFL. I think most of you know, but former NFL offensive lineman. This is the podcast, the best one, if you A, like college football, or B, like the NFL draft. We got you covered both ways. And you know what? With certain teams like the Browns and the Niners and the Giants, their fans should be listening really intently to the College Draft podcast. I want to make sure to mention, with the holidays coming up, make sure you use the Amazon banner ad over at rostucker.com. They give us a little something-something when you do that. Again, the Amazon banner ad over at rostucker.com. Click through that. Use that bad boy. Speaking of Daddy Sodas, by the way, Fran, I broadcast the Brown-Dartmouth game at Fenway Park Friday night, which was really cool to see, you know, a football game at Fenway Park.
Sure.
And then Saturday, I drove up to the Princeton game and actually got a chance to tailgate and be like a normal fan, ex-college player, alum, and hang out with my buddies and tailgate and say hi and eat. And I had several Daddy Sodas. It was glorious, man. It was everything I thought it would be. Everything.
So you got to just hang around and eat and drink Daddy Sodas. That sounds like a pretty good day.
Yeah, I mean, normally I'm going into the game 3 hours before the game in a suit and tie, and I walk by the tailgate, and it's like painful, you know? This time I went into the game 5 minutes late. There's no rush, no hurry. I'm here for the tailgating. It was great, man.
You know, what was the tailgate spread?
It was really good. It was the Princeton football tailgate. So it was really good. They had all kinds of, sandwiches, and then they had like chips and guac, and the chili was amazing, and meatballs, and I'm trying to remember what else they had. All kinds of good, like cookies and pastries, and it was good, and a really good selection of beers too. I had a Sam Adams Oktoberfest Daddy Soda, then a couple of winter lagers. Some of my buddies actually brought beers. They had these double IPAs from Longmeadow, Mass. Hey, it was awesome. It was awesome. But people don't tune in to the podcast to hear about my beers. Although we do say it's the college draft, Daddy Soda time. Still appreciate that a little bit. But tailgating is amazing, man. I can see why people do it for like every home game, whether it's, you know, their NFL team, their college game, whatever. It's just, you know, being outside, and it's awesome. Speaking of awesome, your weekly breakdowns of the top quarterbacks all year have been awesome because, as you say, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We take the entire body of work, but it is nice to check in every week and see what they're building to with that body of work. What did you see from the big three, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen, this past weekend?
Yeah, well, you know, taking a peek at Darnold, who had one of his better games of the year, I would say, overall, having just, you know, watching from afar, from the TV angle, you know, 21 of 34, 329 yards, two touchdowns. The second touchdown, what I thought was a really good second window throw off of, it was either a run pass option or a play action throw on a quick slant. So he waited for that wide receiver to clear the underneath zone defender, hit him in stride in the second window, really helped create yards after catch and put him into the end zone. I thought that was an outstanding play. He threw a great backside post route downfield. It was on point for a great play early in the third quarter, made some good touch throws outside the numbers in that game. Another fumble, which he didn't lose, but he consistently has been putting the ball on the ground. So that's something that he's just going to need to work on, really protecting the football moving into the NFL, because I mean, defenders, they know, you know what, we're going to go for the strip with this kid. I don't know if it's going to turn out that he's got small hands and people are going to be freaking out about that, or if it's just more that he's just got to really focus and hone in on protecting the football moving forward. But big matchup this week, this Saturday night against UCLA and their quarterback, Josh Rosen, you know, who came back from a concussion this week against Utah, and, you know, 25, or he missed the game against Utah. This game was against Arizona State. The numbers at the end of the day weren't terrible. It was 25 for 45, 381, a touchdown and a pick, but it was a bad start for him. You know, he went, I think he started 3 for 10 for 18 yards with a and a pick. So it wasn't a really good start for Josh Rosen in that game, but ended up, I think in the second half, he went 15 to 20. He threw his touchdown early in the fourth quarter. So it was a little bit of a slow start. But again, the kid hadn't played in, you know, five quarters, six quarters after the concussion. So a little bit of a slow start. They do come back. They win by a touchdown over Arizona State. So overall, it was good to see Josh Rosen come back. And again, big matchup this week against USC and the Trojans. So that's how those two guys did from this past weekend. And then the big story, probably from the big three, though, Josh Allen, good start against Air Force, 8 of 11, 70 yards and a touchdown, but he left the game with a shoulder injury, and a lot of people were worried, you know, is this going to be something that's long-term? Looks like reports were saying it's an AC sprain, nothing structurally wrong, which is a great sign. The head coach, Craig Ball, said he thinks Allen will be cleared to practice sometime this week. Could be a game-time decision against Fresno State. So, you know, those are the three quarterbacks. Like you mentioned, a lot of the teams around the NFL now that have kind of, you know, kind of hit that point in the season where maybe they're looking towards the draft, looking towards these quarterbacks. I think all three names, if they were to declare, are all going to be in the conversation in the top half of round one.
Yeah, I saw that about Allen. Not good. Not good at all. I wonder, do you think that the fact that Darnold brings the ball down, like his throwing motion, is that a factor in the fumbles?
You know, without looking at every single one of them, I could say this one was on the run, you know, where he was kind of rolling to his right and the ball just kind of slipped out of his hand. It wasn't even a contact deal, but he wasn't practicing good ball security when he was running with the football. He's got the ball out, you know, holding it in the palm of his hand like he's getting ready to throw. So that's something that, you know, that's more of a technique thing on that one. There are some where, yeah, maybe it is how he cocks back to throw the ball, where he'll drop the ball down to his waist. But I think more that it's really kind of comes down to ball security. And one of the things quarterback coaches will teach, you know, John Gruden likes it, he actually will preach this often, is the two-handed monster. You know, and that's where, you know, you're using both hands to protect the football while you're navigating the pocket, just to help protect the football. You know, you're not, if you're vulnerable, if you're not getting ready to throw the ball, have two hands on it, make sure that you protect it. Then once you're ready to throw, take that offhand off and pull the trigger and fire. So that could just be something that Darnold's got to work through as well.
Interesting. Yeah, let's get to some of the other games that you watched over the weekend. Obviously, there were some big ones, Georgia, Auburn, Miami, Notre Dame. Let's start with Georgia, Auburn. Auburn's got some dudes, man. Some legitimate dudes.
They do. I wrote in my Saturday scouting column on Friday night. It ended up going up on PhiladelphiaEagles.com Saturday morning. I actually picked three undefeated teams to lose on Saturday, Russ. And I felt a little weird doing it. But I had a really good feeling about Auburn upsetting Georgia at home. You know, Auburn had two losses on the year. Both of them were on the road. And in both games, they had done a really good job defending the run. You know, they've got a really disruptive front seven. It's a young group for the most part that fly around. The upperclassmen are at the linebacker level, and you're talking about guys that we've talked about on the show, you know, Trey Williams and Darrell Williams and Deshaun Davis. Those guys, those stacked linebackers in that scheme, they do a really good job of plugging the inside and really taking away the inside run. And I thought that was going to be the case in this game. You know, Georgia, their offensive line has gotten a little bit better over the course of the last couple of years, but they're still not an outstanding offensive front. And you're talking about a freshman quarterback on the road in a hostile environment in a rivalry game. So I thought that they were going to make Jake Fromm beat them. And I thought that really kind of played out. It was the first time, Ross, that I had gotten a chance to watch Auburn this year. Having watched them on film throughout the summer, like I said, I was impressed with those guys on defense, the young guys flying around. And that was the case. You know, the corner Carlton Davis, the left corner for them, he really flashed. He's a true junior. He's been flashing to me since his freshman year. I'm really excited to keep studying him because this is his first year of draft eligibility. They've got one kid, the sophomore DN, Marlon Davidson, who often comes off that left side, really stood out off the edge in this game, especially when they were being off on third and long. He'll be a guy to watch down the road. He's a big kid. I want to say he's north of 280 pounds, but he showed a little bit of flexibility and ability to turn the corner as well. So just really impressive play from that Auburn defense. They really limited Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, kept both of them really under wraps in this game. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I know you mentioned a few weeks ago that you were impressed watching Kerryon Johnson. And I got to tell you what, man, like I said, this is the first time watching them on TV this year. I was really impressed by him as well. Gary Danielson made an interesting comparison to a Le'Veon Bell, and I could definitely see it. I see exactly what he's talking about because you've got that blend of size and patience and the ability to kind of stop, start, and get to top speed again really quickly. Now, I'm not going to call Kerryon Johnson, who's in the 225-pound range. He's not a Dalvin Cook in terms of his ability to get downhill and fly through a hole. But his ability to stop, start, pick his way through traffic in that game and pick up positive yardage, I thought was really, really impressive. He finished with 5.2 yards a carry, 167 yards, had a 55-yard catch as well, was a huge part of that win for the Tigers. It was a big game. I was really interested as well just to see Gus Malzahn's offense, which I love watching that offense. It's not a pro-style scheme in any sense, but just a really fun scheme to watch. Just watching them without a QB run threat. You know, Jarrett Stidham, who's the transfer from Baylor, that a lot of people were excited about coming into the year. You know, he's a deep ball guy. He's a drop back passer. He's not a threat to run with the football. And they do a lot in terms of backfield action, screen action, jet sweep action. A lot of the read elements are still there. But instead of using the quarterback as a run threat, now you've just got these options in the screen game that are always going to be moving those linebackers, help create and widen those lanes for the run game. And I think that was a big part in this game. Jarrett Stidham didn't really impress me overall, but it was his second straight game with over 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Did throw a couple of really nice deep balls down the field in this game as well. And, you know, a lot of people, Ross, lastly, for this offense for Auburn, are really excited about the offensive guard, the right guard for the Tigers, Braden Smith. And I had a chance to study him recently. And I'll tell you what, I was left wanting a little bit, you know, watching him. He started the year at right. A lot of people thought he was going to make the move to right tackle. They did keep him at guard throughout the most part of this game. He's 6'5", 301 pounds, a little bit undersized. And I don't know how long his arms are. So that could be a question for him moving forward as well. But when I watch him, I see a guy who's pretty technically sound and he's tough. He gets after defenders. But I worry a little bit about his core strength, you know, his ability to consistently generate good movement at the point of attack, hold up against a bull rush. That'll be an issue for him playing on the inside in the NFL. And that's going to be something that we've seen over the past couple of years. We talked about it last week with Garrett Bowles, the rookie out of Utah from last year, who's now a starting left tackle for the Denver Broncos. He's really struggled with his core strength this year, being able to hold up both in the pass game and the run game. Braden Smith, different position. I think he's going to be a guard at the next level, but you're still going to worry about that power and that ability to hold the integrity of the pocket with him if he does not get bigger and stronger at the point of attack. So that's my one concern with him. Again, technically sound, tough kid. He's experienced. I think he's been a 3-year starter for Malzahn at right guard. So certainly a guy to watch out for. I'm just not sure that I'm buying in as a surefire, you know, top 25 pick, which I think a lot of people are on that train at this point.
Love it. What about Miami and Notre Dame? Anybody else, before I move on, anybody else in the Georgia-Auburn game?
No, not really. I mean, there were guys on both sides that really stood out to me. But, you know, when you go to the Miami game, that was a really big shock, man.
You thought Notre Dame was going to roll them up, didn't you?
I definitely did. And I completely
so did I.
Bought
so
in.
Did I. I really did, too.
Classic Notre Dame, right? Like from what we've seen over the last few years where, you know, they're kind of like on the brink and they show that flash of being good again. And you're like, oh man, like they might be legit. And then they just go and just lay this egg. And everybody's really quick to say, oh man, the offensive line got killed. And you know what? The right side of the O-line did. You know, I don't think the center played particularly well either. But going back and even rewatching it, Ross, you know, I went back and just watched it again. The left side wasn't the issue with McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson. To me, a lot of the issues they had came from the backside of the offensive line. When they were trying to run left, you had a lot of penetration coming the backside. That Miami front seven, we talked about in the show last week, really fast, really disruptive, really deep at both the linebacker level and at the defensive line level. They did a really, really good job in this game, and they obviously they didn't get good quarterback play either. You know, Wimbush really, really struggled in this game, really couldn't get into a rhythm, and things just kind of snowballed. Early turnovers turned into quick points. It was 17-0 in a flash. It was 24-0 in a flash. It's 31-0 before halftime. It snowballed quickly, and then once they became one-dimensional, it was kind of game over. It was under wraps. They changed quarterbacks before halftime, and the backup struggled. It was just a really, really tough game for Notre Dame. But I'll tell you what, I got a chance finally to really dive in to the senior defensive end for Miami, the kid Chad Thomas. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to watch Miami too much this year, but 6'5", 278 pounds. Thomas in some ways reminds me of Taco Charlton last year, in that he's a really big kid. He's got an NFL frame. He really looks the part. This kid uses his hands really, really well. He's got a really deep toolbox with attacking offensive tackles as a pass rusher. He uses his arms really well, uses his hands really well in the run game as well. I think he's going to be a really solid player. He's just not a super explosive, dynamic athlete that's going to wow you, and it's going to be the kind of guy you take in the first round to be a longtime pass rusher. But I think that Chad Thomas, again, a big kid, I think he really transitions well as a really solid player. And I think he'll turn into a starter down the road, a really, really impressive kid that rushes off the defensive left side. So he matches up often against the opposing right tackle, and he crushed their right tackle in this game. He had a really strong – I think he only ended up with three tackles, but he was really, really disruptive at the point of attack. Everybody – R.J. McIntosh is an underclassman, defensive tackle for them. Yeah, they go like 5-6 deep up front. The Hurricanes do. So this was a really, really big game for them, obviously, and everybody's now talking to, is the U back? Is the U back? We'll see how they do down the stretch here. But a really big game that really surprised me. I thought Notre Dame was going to go in there and win that game.
Yeah, so did I. I thought they'd – especially with some of the games that Miami's had this year, where they've barely beaten bad teams. It's unbelievable. Also, I see here in the notes, Fran, you also have a note about – Your guy Damian Harris.
Yes, I didn't get a chance to watch the Alabama game, but there were some shots going around on Twitter that I peeked at, and Damian Harris just showing up in pass protection against Mississippi State, and we talked about him since the summer. I said back when we did our SEC preview, and I think I talked about him as well during our running back episode back in the summer, about how I was really impressed with Damian Harris. Going back and watching last year, he was the starter ahead of Bo Scarborough, and everybody over the offseason was talking about Bo Scarborough, who's a good player, don't get me wrong. But Damian Harris, to me, is a more complete back, and I think Damian Harris, to me, is a much easier projection to the NFL level. He's a really tough runner. He does all the little things well. I think he's a guy that people are going to look at and say, you know what, he may not have as high a ceiling as some of these other backs we're going to talk about in this class, but he's got a really high floor, a guy that can be really reliable and can come in and play right away. Because if you can pass protect and take care of the football, which are two really big things for coaches, if you can do those two things, you can be a three down back sooner rather than later in the NFL. And I think Damian Harris has the ability to do that.
What about anybody else that you've just had a chance to study since last week?
Well, it's interesting. We're starting to get to the point now, and there's nothing been official yet. But the Senior Bowl invitations have gone out. And so you're starting to see some schools and some players, tweet about how they're excited to go. And some of the rumors are starting to break out. Phil Savage, who's the director of the Senior Bowl, has, retweeted some of those and said congrats to the kids. So I've gotten a chance to go and watch some of them. And a few that I haven't gotten a chance to get to. So, the one kid, a lot of small school kids. So let's start with the New Mexico State wide receiver, Jaleel Scott. We talked about the running back there. Larry Rose, who was an All-American a couple years back, undersized but dynamic, Chris Thompson type of player. Jaleel Scott is a really interesting kid, man. You're talking about a receiver who's 6'5", 6'6", 215, 220 pounds, built like a Plaxico Burress. That's the kind – if you really like Jaleel Scott, if you've got a lot of faith in him becoming a starting receiver down the road, that's who you think he can be, is a Plaxico Burress type of weapon. He's big. He's long. He's a leaper. He'll go up and win in those contested catches. He had one of the best catches of the year earlier this season against Arizona State in the back of the end zone, where he went up and climbed the ladder and reeled it in with one hand and made an outstanding touchdown catch. Not a refined player right now. I think he's a decent route runner. I think he does have an idea, a decent understanding of how to run routes and create separation with technique. He's just not all the way there yet. More important, I want to see him get a little bit better with his releases. I'm excited to watch more. He seems to catch the ball pretty naturally, you know, in terms of snagging it away from his frame and not body catching, but a really impressive kid that I'm excited to watch in person down in Mobile if I get a chance to go this year is Jaleel Scott, a really, really impressive physical specimen at the receiver position. And then two small school corners that really kind of impressed me going back and watching. There's the Murray State kid, Demontre Wade, and from Jacksonville State, Saran Neal. And anytime you're talking about these small school players, you want to see guys that flash immediately. You know, I talked about that with Michael Joseph, the kid from Division III Dubuque a couple weeks ago, who you watch him and you know immediately who that kid is when you turn the film on, because he's got the size and speed that just looks different from everybody else out there. And I thought to a certain extent that was the case with Saran Neal, the Jacksonville State kid. You know, he's 6 foot, 199 pounds. He plays with an edge. He's got some nastiness to him, that competitive spirit on the perimeter, which you need to have at the NFL level. He's a big kid. He's got some pretty good movement right now in terms of his athleticism, his quickness. I don't know how – he doesn't have a ton of experience in terms of playing zone coverage. It's a lot of press man, which, you know, is a good thing if you're a press man team. But there's going to be a little bit of projection there with him. I'm very anxious to see him down at the Senior Bowl. And then, again, you talk about the other corner, Demontre Wade from Murray State, another kid with some size, 6 foot, 192 pounds. Was a four-year starter for the Racers there. Really good ball skills. Has been extremely productive this year. I got a chance to see some of those ball skills on display in the game I watched against Louisville. You have the ability to go and you know, in terms of attacking the football in the air and finishing at the catch point. I'm not sure he's the most instinctive kid in terms of zone coverage either and reading route breaks and things like that. And he didn't quite show up as well in run defense as what I saw from Saran Neal. But again, just another interesting big small school corner, a big kid that will get a chance to go down and compete in Mobile.
I like it. I like that we're starting to hear some of these Senior Bowl kids. Anybody else not Senior Bowl guys, just guys you got a chance to study a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I got a chance. I went back and I watched the Oklahoma State receivers. You know, James Washington. James Washington, I think, is just a good, solid football player. You know, I don't know that I'm buying into James Washington as like a top 20 pick, but as a solid possession type receiver, I think he's got a chance to stick in the NFL for a long time. I know he's fighting an ankle right now, but a guy that's really natural at the catch point. He's not explosive. I know he averages like, you know, 23 yards a catch or something like that this year. He's not an explosive kid in terms of deep speed, but a physical kid at the catch point who can make plays with the ball in his hands because of how physical he is. He's got good vision in the open field. Just needs to get a little bit better as a route runner or run a little bit more of an expansive route tree. That will be a concern from him in the transition as well. But the kid across from him as well, you know, Marcel Aitman is a big, big kid. And, you know, if you like guys like Mike Evans and, you know, Devin Funchess in Carolina, these big, hulking 6'4", 6'5", 220-plus pound receivers. Marcel Aitman's that guy. He actually reminds me in some ways of a Devin Funchess. You know, his ability to go up and win at the catch point, he's really natural going up and fighting for the football in the air. He's not a deep speed guy like we talked about with Jaleel Scott. He's not really refined with his releases right now. I do think, like Jaleel Scott, he's pretty solid in terms of his route running, but he's just not a super explosive, super dynamic athlete. So there's some give and take there with a Marcel Aitman, but certainly intriguing in a lot of different ways. I got a chance to go back and watch the Alabama linebackers. Rashawn Evans, the senior, starting to get a little bit more buzz. You know, he made it into Mel Kiper's, into his big board last week for the first time. Again, a guy who's making the transition. 2 years ago, he was an edge rusher for Nick Saban in that 3-4 scheme, played on the outside. He's a big kid I'm glad he made the transition, because if he had stayed there, I would have been really worried about his ability to kind of move into the NFL as a pass rusher. He's not a great pass rusher. He could be a blitzer from time to time, and I think he'll be used that way, but he's not a great pass rusher. So, you know, seeing him make the transition last year, I thought that he was a little bit slow to see things on the inside. Very understandable considering the lack of experience. But now in his second year, you can see he's starting to play a little bit faster. He's a big, physical, violent kid who came back from injury early this season and now is really kind of starting to hit his stride on the inside. They need him too, because they've had some injuries at linebacker. Sean Dion Hamilton went down. And I think that Rashawn Evans, to me, has a higher ceiling than Sean Dion Hamilton. Dion Hamilton, I think, has the ability to be a nice sub-package role player in the NFL. I think Evans has the ability in the right scheme and the right defense to be a three-down type of player. And he doesn't have great athleticism sideline to sideline, but his effort, his ability to play with a high motor, and now that he's starting to see things a little bit faster, gives me faith that, you know, he can transition into that kind of role. And then lastly, two seniors that I got a chance to watch. The Iowa offensive lineman, Sean Welsh, I was pretty impressed with. You know, overall, you know, the kid plays with really good technique. I don't think that he's going to be this, you know, big mauler at the point of attack like what we see from like a Brandon Scherff coming out of Iowa. He's undersized at 6'2", 300 pounds. You could tell he's got really short arms. So he's not going to be this guy that's going to just blow people off the ball. But he's a kid that I think is going to transition to guard, has spent some time at tackle, a lot of time at tackle over his career. And you could kind of tell with the way that he sets. You know, he's got pretty good feet. He's got the ability to redirect on the inside, looks very comfortable in his kick slide, which is what, you know, what allowed him to play tackle at the college level, despite that body type and those physical limitations. Like I said, uses his hands really well. Just want to see him get stronger. Liked what we talked about with the kid Braden Smith from Auburn. I want to see Sean Wells get stronger. And then lastly, Kaiser White, you know, the strong safety from West Virginia. He kind of plays in that role, Ross, as like a big nickel. And I remember a couple years ago, there was that safety from Duke that everybody was really high on, and Jeremy Cash. And everybody was really high on this time 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And we talked about him on the podcast. It felt like on a weekly basis because everybody had him first round pick. He ended up going undrafted, I think, and he's on the practice squad in Carolina as a linebacker because he was not used in a traditional way. And I think when you look at Kaiser White, there's some similarities in terms of how he was used and how they're used. He is a big nickel player for them that plays in the slot against spread formations, plays over tackle almost like a linebacker against tighter formations. And he's just, because he plays so much to the line of scrimmage, you don't see a lot of reps of him in single high. You don't see a ton of reps of him even as a two high player. So, you know, trying to project him is going to be a little bit more difficult. That being said, I really do kind of like the player in Kaiser White. I think if you're a team that wants to play a lot of dime defense and you're looking for a player that can come down and play down close to the line of scrimmage as a safety, I think you could do a lot worse than Kaiser White. He's a really good run defender. I think he's a really reliable tackler. He seems to see things really well in the run game. Not sure how well he sees things in the passing game right now. That will be a concern. But you're talking about a big kid with really long arms that moves pretty well in the open field considering his size and his length. He doesn't have great deep speed, and I wish you got to see more reps of him deep, but it's going to be a little bit of a projection for him. So it's going to be interesting to see how he's viewed as the process continues to unfold. Kaiser White, you know, could be strong safety, could be a linebacker, sub-package player, an interesting player. I'm sure he'll be at the Senior Bowl as well.
Not a lot of great matchups this week, this Saturday. You know, we've been spoiled the last couple weeks in terms of big time games, but there's still some games. Give me just a couple of one-on-one matchups you'll be looking at.
So, you know, real quick, I think when you look around, you know, Miami is taking on Virginia. This is actually I think it might be the only week, Ross, that no two ranked teams are playing each other. So it's kind of one of those down weeks. But Miami, Virginia, I think has the chance to be pretty interesting. You know, they've got some players on offense at Miami. Chris Herndon is the guy, the senior tight end. Only 4 catches for 30 yards against Notre Dame in the blowout. But in 3 straight games before that, he had reached the end zone. So had been on a bit of a hot streak. Keep an eye on him against this Virginia defense. You know, we've talked about the thumper on the inside, Micah Kaiser, a linebacker. But keep an eye on the two safeties as well. The senior, Quinn Blanding, 9 tackles and a pass breakup last week against Louisville, and the junior safety, Juan Thornhill, 4 tackles last week against the Cardinals. I think Thornhill's got a little bit higher upside, so I kind of like him. Keep an eye on him in this game. You're going to go to the afternoon slate, the 3 o'clock, 3:30 area. I really like the Oklahoma-Kansas matchup, namely only because Kansas has that intriguing defensive end, Dorrance Armstrong. We talked about him in the offseason. He's only got one sack this year, and he's a junior. He's 6'4", 246. It's Kansas. Nobody really has a reason to watch them outside of the state of Kansas. So if you want to try and keep an eye on this pass rusher that a lot of people were excited about coming into the year, he's underperformed. This is a big test for him against this Oklahoma offense. Obviously, you talk about Baker Mayfield, a good chance to watch him. I'm sure he's going to throw for a bajillion yards in this game. But his left tackle, Orlando Brown, is a big, hulking human being, really strong at the point of attack. Armstrong versus Brown, I think, will be a really interesting matchup in this game. So keep an eye there. And then for the night games, obviously, USC, UCLA, the two quarterbacks under the lights, I think, will be very interesting. Watch out for USC quarterback Sam Darnold against the UCLA team and their quarterback Josh Rosen. But if you want to stay in the Pac-12, an interesting matchup I like, Stanford and Cal. Stanford has a left tackle, left guard, David Bright, that I watched early the year, 6'5", 299 pounds, has shifted back and forth between the two spots. Either way, he's going to see matchups against the Cal defensive end, James Looney, who I think projects pretty well as a five technique or potentially as a three technique at the next level. A little bit undersized, not quite the athlete to be a pure edge guy, but two tackles and a half a sack a couple weeks ago against Oregon State. They're coming off the bye. James Looney, I think, is a guy that is going to get a little bit of buzz as the process continues to unfold. He's an interesting, versatile piece up front for those Cal Bears. So if I had to pick three matchups for this week, one in each slate of games, 12 o'clock, 3:30, and then the 7 o'clock. Those would be the three games I'm watching.
I love it. Well, I also love your versatility, and there's a buzz about your analysis each and every week. It is fantastic. I encourage people to check out the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, as well as Fran's Saturday scouting article. Really, really good stuff. And follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow on Twitter at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, and RT Media, Brian, at RTF Podcast. Other than that, the keg is kicked and we are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Do you want to be great at reading body language, developing persuasion and influence, as well as master rapport and social interaction? What if I told you that you would learn from top performers like NBA superstar Shaquille O'Neal, former CIA director Michael Hayden, and brilliant thinkers like Dirty Jobs Mike Rowe? Take a minute right now and subscribe to the Art of Charm podcast with me, Jordan Harbinger, and you'll hear how I pull out the secret psychology, life experience, and wisdom that can only be learned from them. You'll hear Shaq talk about how to manage your career and how to know who to trust when everyone's out to get something from you. You'll discover how to think critically from Bill Nye and Neil deGrasse Tyson, and even how Tony Hawk's life as a skateboard icon will influence how you think about your career and relationships in a whole new way. This show is for you if you want to outcompete, outperform, and outthink everyone around you, and it's the only place you'll get practical, applicable strategies from every single episode. Since you're all about learning from the absolute best, download and subscribe for free right now and upgrade your brain four times a week at podcastone.com or in the Podcast One app.